Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, 4-5. In the previous Mishnah, we said that a non-Jew, an Avodah Zarah, could be mevatel his idol. Now we're going to describe how that happens. Ketzad mevatla. What does one have to do to essentially decommission, deconsecrate an idol? Kata rosh ozna, rosh chatma, rosh etzba'a. If one, that is to say, a Gentile, he clips off a bit of the idol's ear, or of its nose, or of its fingertip. These are actually three kind of different chiddush, if you will, of increasing chiddush, probably lost on us today. But in the time, in Roman times, if let's say a slave ran away, when you got him back to sort of show him who's boss, to mark him as a slave, you would snip off his ear, like part of his ear, like the earlobe, whatever it is. So the point is that the clipping of the ear is indicative of showing like who's boss. So if the idolater clips his idol's ear, that would indicate clearly that he's showing he's the boss over the idol, therefore sort of decommission the idol. A step down from that would be clipping off, say, if its nose, you're cutting off its nose to spite its face, so to speak. The point is it's obviously very visible and clearly, you know, in everyone's face, no pun intended, that this has been sort of no longer regarded as an idol. And then Rosh Etzba'a would be its fingertip. So that's, of course, something that's much less noticeable at first. But yet, if the idolater clips even the fingertip, since that's not treating it in a way that's what is called Minog Elokus, you're not treating it as if it's some sort of deity. You're just looking at this now as just sort of an inanimate statue. So that's the bittul, the decommissioning or deconsecration of an idol to become a generic statue, we'll call it. And at that point, it becomes mutter for a Jew to get hana from it, which would mean, for example, if the idol were made out of silver, he could melt it down and make himself some candlesticks. If it's made out of wood, he could burn it and roast his marshmallows over the fire and that kind of thing, which would be not the case if it hadn't been decommissioned. Before Bittul, the Jew still would have, you know, a mitzvah to destroy this idol and melt down or throw into the Dead Sea, whatever it is, or burn in the fire. But he would not be allowed to sort of repurpose that fire to roast marshmallows or that silver to, you know, turn into candlesticks. Further says the Mishnah, Pachasa, if he essentially literally defaces it, meaning he damages the face of the idol to the point that it's no longer recognizable, really, as a face, then Afal Pishalo Chisra, even though he hasn't taken away any of the actual material, so he's not cutting something off of the idol, he's just sort of literally defacing it, but he's, you know, marring the face, so it's sort of not recognizable, then again, Bitla, that constitutes the decommissioning of the idol, make it mutter bahana for a Jew. It's specifically the face that has to get sort of smashed, but if he, you know, smashes like a hand or a foot, not enough recognizably so, that it would be considered to be a bittul, and therefore that would not count. But smashing so that no longer has a recognizable face would be. Now, on the other hand, if rakak befaneha, if he simply spat at it, hishtin befaneha, or he urinated in front of it, or geira, he dragged it through the mud, you know, in sort of a disrespectful sort of way, as would be symbolic, you know, symbolically denigrating it, or vizark ba esatso, even if he threw feces at the idol, harezu enu batela, that does not constitute bittul. The reason why is because these are just sort of, it's very possible that the idolater got angry at his idol for some reason, and he sort of expresses anger by spitting at it or urinating at it and that kind of thing. But tomorrow he'll turn around and sort of reconcile with his idol and pray to it again. So that sort of temporary or, you know, kind of, you know, one-time sort of disrespect is not indicative of a deconsecration, rather sort of bad, you know, bad midos on behalf of the idolater. Which means, although the Mishnah doesn't say this, it's Pashat Sotos Yom Tov, if it would be repurposed, let's say, for example, you turn your idol into like a spittoon where you'd, you know, spit into, or, you know, a urinal where you'd urinate on, then for sure it's a sort of a kavua, sort of an established way now to repurpose this idol in a non-respectful way, and that would be a bittul. Okay, so if it's permanent in terms of repurposing or being used in sort of this disrespectful way, then certainly it has been decommissioned and will become mutter bahana for a Jew. Now, the last case is sort of a machlokas. What if machara o mishkana? What happens if he sold it or essentially kind of pawned it off? So in the case, a mashkan, of course, is like a pledge or a security deposit, collateral, while one takes a loan. Normally one gets the collateral back. when he repays the loan. So the case here is something much more close to like a sale, meaning you gave it to a pawn shop where after 30 days he loses the item, and you know, it looks more likely than not that's what happens. People lose their items and the pawn shop makes a living that way. So the point is that he's giving it as a mashkon in a way that seems like he's never getting it back again probably. So in those kind of cases, Rebbe Omer Bitel. Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, holds that constitutes a decommission of the idol because he's like giving his idol away. That suggests he's done with it, and now it's sort of, it's now been, you know, this decommissioned. But Vacham Omrim Lo Bitel. Vacham say no. They say it's very possible he, besides perhaps he may intend to buy back at a higher price even later, but he thinks, listen, if he's selling it to this guy is going to use it as his idol. So because the purchaser or the pawn shop broker running guy, he could very well use it. So just because it was sold doesn't mean it's been decommissioned. Now the bartender speaks out, if the idolater sells his idol to a Jew, and that Jew isn't just a regular Jew who maybe he'll buy back from later or whatever it is, but which the Chum say wouldn't be good enough, but if the Jew is a silversmith, let's say, and the idol's made out of silver, so clearly it's understood that this idol is now going to be melted down and turned into candlesticks, whatever it is, and there even the Chacham would agree that does constitute a bittel. That's the Bar Tanura speaks it out. The truth is, there's two shittas in the Gemara, there's a split in the Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch actually brings both opinions as Yesh Omrim, if that would be considered a bittel if he sells it to a Jewish silversmith. Now, worth speaking out in terms of Halach Lamaisa, there's actually a machlok, it's again in the Mefarshim, if this Mishnah, these rules only apply to a idolater under some kind of duress. But if he was acting out of his own accord, if he needs to do any action at all, according to some, if the idolater simply does bittel verbally, he says, I'm through with this idol, and I'm moving on, and it's now been decommissioned, if that would be sufficient. So some say, if no one's forcing him to do it, that very verbalization of the deconsecration, of the changing the status from the idol down to being just a useless figurine, would be sufficient. Others say no, because that's a machlokas. We'll see in the beginning of the next Mishnah, the biggest riot that, you know, you don't need to do an actual action to decommission an idol.